This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big bad show tonight.
Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com, at 1057FMTheFan on Twitter.
I can't get behind your guy, man. I'm sorry. I just
told you he was going to be a lottery pick.
I can't get behind him.
Tyler Herro, baby, number 13 last night. And he's going to Miami. So think about this. You go from Hales Corners, Wisconsin to Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. Pretty on par, I would say. And then you get to go to Miami. As a 19-year-old kid, a bunch of money in your pocket, already swaggy. He's got $50,000 on his wrist, like he has been playing in the league for 7 years. Oh, yeah, he's going to have some fun in Miami. He's going to have some fun in the 305, that's for sure. I just hope he keeps his nose clean. That's all I can say. I hope he keeps his nose clean, because there's people that want that dude to fail. I can tell you that much for sure. You hear him last night? As he tells everybody, you know, he's talking to Maria Taylor. This is the best part. As he says, he shouts out from where he's from. This is Tyler Herro last night after he gets drafted.
Not too many kids make it from where I'm from. You know, I'm in a small town. You know, just shout out to Whitnall. So, I mean, I'm just happy I'm here.
Dude, okay, first off, I get it. Milwaukee's not L.A. It's like the 35th biggest city in the country. It's really not a small town. You're not from Antigo, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, Jordan Poole was drafted last night in the first round, right? He's from Milwaukee, Riverside native. Kevon Looney played in the NBA Finals with the Golden State Warriors. He's from Milwaukee, Hamilton. So, okay, that disproves that there. Sam Decker from Wisconsin. Oh, goodness gracious, I forgot that one too. Come on, buddy. Let's tell it. I get where you're coming from. No, not many people in the NBA from Hales Corners. Damn right, from Whitnall High School. I'll put my hand up in the air for that. Most famous Whitnall alum, but come on, buddy. It's not that small. It's not that small.
Could he have been a lottery draft pick with the Badgers?
No, I don't think he would have been drafted in the first round if he would have went to Wisconsin.
Why?
Because he wouldn't have played like he would have, like he did at Kentucky.
Why?
I do not believe that he would have gotten the run at Wisconsin that he did at Kentucky.
Of course he would have. Did you see that basketball team last year?
Oh, yeah, no,
I
saw it.
How would he not have gotten run?
Well, Tyler, you need to respect your teammates in practice.
No.
You need to tone down some of the aggressiveness.
Well, that's probably all that's
probably
true.
I don't think they would have been down with the antics that he liked to portray. But I don't think he would have fit in that realm.
I will say this to the day I die. If you are a special player, you can be special on any team.
Sure.
If you're special, then if you're special at Kentucky, you're damn right can be special at Wisconsin. If you're special at Kentucky, you should get twice as many shots at Wisconsin or Marquette. And so, to me, this whole thing of, well, if I want to go to the NBA, I got to play at Kentucky, because if I play at Wisconsin, I can't get there. That's
damn
trash.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that to be the case at all. Listen, if Dwayne Wade wasn't at Marquette, and if Dwayne Wade was at Gonzaga back then, or Wofford, or wherever, he's still going to be an NBA player.
Sure.
He's still going to have the career he had. Now, that's just what it is. Now, because you get to the tournament, you get to face Kentucky and Kansas or whatever else. So he gets more high-level experience from that perspective, I guess. But he's a special talent no matter where he plays a game of basketball. So to say that, oh, Tyler Herro wouldn't have been an NBA player or a lottery pick had he gone to Wisconsin, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah,
if he's special, he still would have been a special player. Do you know what would have changed? What I think would have changed? He wouldn't have had as many open looks at Wisconsin. Because they don't have the talent around that floor like Kentucky does. So there would have been more focus on him, and he would have had to work to get his shot, way more there than he probably did.
And he's not great at shooting off ball screens, not great at shooting off like the dribble handoff, which in that swing offense he would have had, that would have been how he gets freed up, especially from Happ and all those guys. That's where I think it he benefits from playing the open style that they played at Kentucky.
Sure.
19-0 the Wildcats were this year when Tyler Herro went off for 15 or more in a game.
And again,
it's outstanding.
I mean, it's a nice deal to have Calipari as your coach, who's been in the NBA and coached and has coached numerous guys into the NBA and all of that. I mean, that's always positive too. But again, if you go to Kentucky, you're not trying to go to school.
So
you're trying to go to the NBA.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like if you go to Alabama, you're trying to go there for football. You're going to play in the NFL. You're not going there for a 4-year degree most of the time.
I think one of the most iconic stories is when Tyler Ulis's dad is talking to John Calipari, and Calipari's like, "So what kind of kid am I getting if I bring your son?" And he goes, "Hey man, you're going to get a dude that's going to work hard, going to be here for 4 years." He goes, "Okay, I'll stop you right there. Kid's not going to play for 4 years if he plays for me. He's going to be in the NBA for 3 already." That's John Calipari. He's not messing around. You're not chilling here for 4 years playing school. You're going to be in the NBA within the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And PJ Washington's a living example of it. Dude did not play well in his first year. Goes 12 last night. I had some guy at the Q Club that was not happy with me, though, given the Tyler Herro standing ovation. Fired up, clapping. He's a tool! I was like, "You're a tool. You're yelling about an 18-year-old kid." I didn't say that, though. I should have. I didn't say that. I was a nicer guy. 414-799-1250.
I wonder how that's going to be. How's that going to be when he comes back here?
Not going to be received well.
I really want to know.
Could you?
How is that going to go? When the Heat come here to play the Bucks, and that kid comes here his rookie year, right?
Yeah, not going to be great.
Because I'll be honest with you, there aren't a lot of people that seemingly are very supportive of that dude in this area.
No. If once you get outside of the Hales Corners zip code here, he's not well received.
No. So I just wonder, like, I can't think of another native of this area that got booed coming back as a rookie for a team.
Like, the reception when he left Wisconsin, like, the stories of people trashing the front yard and stuff like that, those are straight up true. Like, we saw that in the neighborhoods. I mean, it was brutal there for a while after he decommits to Wisconsin, but in the sense to make that night last night come true. I mean, that was it. He wanted to be a lottery pick, and he got that opportunity playing for Coach Cal. That's no doubt. But you're right, man. Because if, like, Kentucky would have played Wisconsin in the tournament, he would have been the most villainized dude in that tournament game all week. If they would have played like Sweet 16, the talk would have been big time against that. Woo, that was fun. Not as fun as going to Wendy's and just getting a nice Frosty, though. I could use one. Can somebody turn the air conditioning on in here?
I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I'm actually was going to say it's kind of cold in here.
We have a space heater going back here.
Yeah.
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, it's actually kind of chilly in here.
I feel like I got out of a swimming pool.
Can't really
feel
my fingers or toes all that well. It's getting a little numb.
Yeah. My entire torso is just like drenched. Goodness gracious.
Go get a Frosty.
You have any idea why you sweat so much?
I got gigantic pores. Huge.
You think that's what it is?
Ginormous glands. Well, I'm also 320 pounds. That could probably also help too.
I bet you it's none of that.
I would highly disagree.
I bet you money. I bet you within 2 weeks, I could get you to stop sweating as crazy as you are. But you have to follow the diet.
A diet?
Mm-hmm. Of what you can't eat.
What do you think? I have like the meat sweats all the time or something?
You can only eat Wendy's.
It's completely, I bet you money. Without having to go to a doctor or anything, I bet you I could get it to the point where you're not sweating anymore. Bet. Yep. You think about it. Hey, check this out.
I mean, I'm always down to bet. Like, I'm always down to gamble.
Well, it's just going to benefit you if I can get you to stop sweating like a crazy person.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Because you sweat a ton.
It's gross. Right. It's nastiness.
You should be losing weight just sitting in the here.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't get it.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy's has your made-to-crave menu.
A towel or something.
Just got an upgrade. Chicken upgrade. Just when you thought the Made to Crave menu couldn't get any more delicious, we've got a full lineup of awesome chicken sandwiches joining the ranks. Introducing the avocado BLT sandwich. You like avocados? You an avocado guy, baby?
A little bit. Not huge time. I'm a bad millennial in that sense.
a bad millennial?
Millennials love avocados.
Really? That's all the thing.
They put it on like toast and, yeah, eat, like, and eat it. Toast, yeah, with avocado on it.
Doesn't
it's
Brady
supposed to be
have
peanut butter?
Brady does a lot of avocado stuff too, Tom Brady.
Yeah, avocado ice cream.
Yeah, that's disgusting. The Sawsome Bacon Chicken Sandwich and the Barbecue Chicken Sandwich. That one, I think, is my favorite for sure.
Yeah, that one's fire.
Three bold choices packed with flavor. So why settle for basic when you can upgrade with fresh, never frozen beef or tasty premium chicken? Go ahead and satisfy those cravings with any one of Wendy's epic choices. And don't forget kid meals for just $1.99 after 4 o'clock throughout the summer at Wendy's.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, and Baby Tal Spiel Schmidt with you till 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Listen to it on the radio.com app as well. 1057FMTheFan.com. Click on Fan on Demand if you miss anything on 1057FM The Fan. Presented by John Paul's Buick GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield. It's Fan on Demand. You can also check out the World According to Sparky podcast there as well, Stevie, where you guys are going to have Ryan Horvath coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've
that
got...
That dude is going to have an interesting time.
Yeah, he'll be heading on down that way down to Florida. Check that out.
Got our ready.
Latest podcast up talking about the rising prices for annual passes and parking passes down at Disney World. And then next week, I got a special guest on talking about his experience at Universal Studios last week, and then comparing and contrasting Universal Studios and the experience and the money you spend versus, say, Disney World or Disneyland as well. And one Andy Spitzer, one of our co-hosts, gets pretty bitter about Universal before the end of the podcast. So it's a fun listen. Check it out.
I love when Andy gets mad. Mm-hmm. If you're just getting into your car, some of the news of today, the Cubs are in the top half of the ninth inning playing the New York Mets, down 5-4 at the moment. Oakland A's starting pitcher Frankie Montas, 9-2 with a 2.7 earned run average this year, is suspended 80 games for violating the league's substance abuse guidelines. We haven't seen many of those this year. I believe that is the first one for a player in the big leagues being tested positive for steroids. So, I mean, look at that. It's June 21st, and this is the first one of the year.
It's a big blow for them, though.
Oh, it's a huge blow for the Oakland A's, who already are nowhere near what they were last year.
Yep.
They hurt when Chris Davis went down. 414-799-1250. Sparky, are you losing faith in David Stearns? This is the man that you politicked for, advocated for. When he was on our program, you told him that he should possibly look for new representation as you, because you wanted him to be the president of baseball operations. He gets the job. And it appears people on social media are losing their mind. I got some gold from the post-game show last night, referring to Craig Counsell that we're going to play a little bit later on in the show. But people are going nuts on David Stearns as well, losing faith in what the Brewers head man is doing.
Don't. Look, I would say at this point he's got a pretty successful track record since he's been here.
Yeah.
I would say that he's pretty much proved that he knows what the hell he's doing at this point. I just don't know how you can argue that he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't think you have enough ammunition to call into the show or tweet or whatever else and with a track record of bad decisions versus all the good decisions that he's made at this point. The man got you to within, put talent on the field, and Counsell, obviously, and the players had to come through and do the rest of it, but within a game of the World Series last year, he went out and got pretty much best catcher on the market in Grandal.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't a big fan of how much they paid him and everything else, but they got him. He's having an all-star type year. All-star voting ends today, the first phase of it. So go vote for Grandal and Moustakas. They need your help right now. But so you have that going on. Moustakas, there's another one. You got Moustakas to come back for another one-year deal after a lot of people thought he wouldn't be back after last year after they got him. He's back again. I just think he's done a lot of really good stuff, and you just have to be patient, right? First of all, if this does go the wrong way, okay. Then it ends up being a bad season. You don't live up to expectations. And then you get to kind of try and figure out what you want to do going into next year and figure it out. We went through Ted Thompson for all those years, and he got one Super Bowl and was in the playoffs every single year. In baseball, it's not that easy. I don't know what Baby Tosh thinks. I think it's harder to make the playoffs in baseball than it is in the National Football League because of the lopsided salaries and payrolls in baseball versus the NFL, where you have that hard cap, which Major League Baseball does not have. They have a cap, luxury tax, just like in the NBA, but they don't have a hard cap. And that's what makes the NFL special, because mm-hmm. you can take a worst to first place team and have that happen in the course of an offseason. I mean, look how bad Cleveland was a couple of years ago. Now people are predicting them to be one of the favorites in the AFC this year. So you have that. In baseball, to expect your team to be in a World Series every couple of years, you're asking a lot. To ask your team to be in the playoffs 4 or 5 years in a small market, you're asking a lot. I mean, that's just truth. That's just kind of how it is. The window for this organization probably is somewhere of 3 to 5 years, would be my guess. And then probably at that point, I think they're going to have to go into rebuild mode again. Now, David Stearns will tell you he's trying to make it so you don't ever have to go into rebuild mode, that you can just keep this train rolling and never have to go back into that mode. That's the goal at the end of the day. Can he do it? I don't know. But he's off to one hell of a start with what he's put together so far.
I desperately hope Brewers fans are not losing faith with David Stearns. I mean, as I observe this team and also follow and talk about it on the postgame show with Timmy, it's one of the avenues where player development is one of the 90% how you're going to generate your team in a small market. And David Stearns is developing his talent while also putting a team that was a game away from the World Series on the field last year. They started spring training this year at American Family Fields of Phoenix with 5 players from the draft of 2017 in the big league camp. That was the most in Major League Baseball. They're developing players that he believes are going to be contributors at the major league level, where you talked about in a rebuild, you're not going to see those dudes for 4 or 5 years necessarily. Well, the top picks that the Brewers got, Keston Hira, he's 2.5 years into his pro ball career, and he is the fastest mover of that draft. He was the first position player to the major leagues from that draft.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's getting college-type players. You know, for so long under Doug Melvin, it was high school players, because you were a long, long ways away from competing. You were looking for high upside, trying to get here a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. College baseball players, they get here, but they're always going to be older than the high school player if they're both getting here in relatively or close to the same amount of time. You look at that AAA level, look, Mauricio Dubon, I think he's ready for a major league position somewhere. Maybe not here, but somewhere. Keston Hira, he's ready. He's ready to go take that next step. I haven't looked at Zach Brown's numbers this year, but coming in, Zach Brown looked like he was getting ready to take that next step probably in 2020 of maybe being in a rotation. So they're coming. And then Trent Grisham, he gets to AAA last night, hits a home run. First game in AAA last night, Grisham goes yard.
There you go. Nice job, Clark.
Had a couple hits, had a home run. So that's a former first-round pick, mm-hmm. not of Stearns, of Melvin, but and he was taken relatively young.
He was a high school kid.
Right,
yep.
And he's worked his way over the course of time, including changing his name, all the way through the farm system up to AAA, and he's been on fire. By the way, side note, Diaz, by the way, for the Marlins, tearing it up since May 1st till now is on a tear.
Good for him. Good
for
dude.
The Marlins AAA New Orleans team right now. But anyways, so yeah, I think when you look at everything in general, as far as what they're doing in the draft, how they're moving players through the system, they took a ton of pitching, a ton of catching. Like, they just said, these are areas where you need help, and screw every other position, we're just going to press it right there.
I love that.
And we'll see. I mean, anytime you take a lot of something, the odds go in your favor that one of them may hit. You know, if I take 30 or 40 pitchers versus 15, my odds are a lot better that I might get one of them to work versus if I only take 15 pitchers.
That was the thought process of David Stearns in the Adam Lind trade, when you go and get Freddie Peralta, who was one of the 3 lottery tickets you have of all 19-year-old pitchers that you trade a guy for in a rental. The thing that I believe in with David Stearns is there's proof that he believes in his philosophy, and he's going to stick to it despite whatever the outside noise is. I think in that position, more than maybe any in professional sports as a general manager, you have to have your philosophy that you're going to continually stick to. And as you said, in drafting, they drafted for need this year. I mean, you can say they went with best player available, but they go with the best player available to a need. They needed left-handed pitching in this draft, and they went out and got dudes that you believe are going to be able to help you at a higher level, at an earlier level, similar to what you see with the Golden State Warriors. Now, I'm not comparing the two organizations here, but the Golden State Warriors, if you look, have taken in an NBA where it's heavy on rookies, freshmen, sophomore in high or in college going after those guys. Jordan Bell was a three-year college player. Draymond Green, obviously a four-year college player. You take Jordan Poole, who was a two- or three-year college player, and they bring in dudes that have played in college for multiple years, Kevon Looney as well, where they believe that they're closer to being legitimate NBA players. The Brewers obviously believe that their college prospects are closer to being major league players because they've seen it now with Keston Hiatt. They've also seen it with Corbin Burns and other guys, Brandon Woodruff as well, of dudes that they think can develop quicker at that pace because of sticking to their model and doing it their way.
It is interesting, and I will be interested to see what happens if this thing goes the wrong way, right? So if they get to 4 years out from right now, and now Kane's up, Yelich is on another team, whatever the case may be, and now there is a rebuild that has to happen, whether or not that draft philosophy will change, Billy. Will they then go back to the high school route, not go with as many college players, trying playing for the long run versus trying to get guys here real quick? Because there is a philosophy to that. I'm sorry, you can sit here and debate with me all you want, but those teams that are in smaller markets tend to be the ones that gamble on the high school kids early and often, that it'll pan out and work long term. Yeah. And those that are competing are more than willing to draft college players early, fill holes within a couple of years that they see coming, and try and get some help immediately.
And David Stearns has done that, too. You look at the last couple of drafts outside this year, they didn't have the compensation level because they went and traded their compensation A-level pick for Alex Claudio, which was the 41st pick.
Right.
And then they didn't have their second because of the Yasmani Grandal signing. They had taken an elite college player, Keston here and Corey Ray in the last two drafts in the first round, and then follow it up with a boomer bust outfielder in Tristan Lutz, who they thought could have been their Kyle Schwarber, dude that could hit 40 home runs in just ungodly power, and then also Joe Gray Jr., who would be the dude that they thought could be a boomer bust center fielder who's hitting like .165. So there you go. They're also taking what they believe could be more surefire dudes and also swinging for the fences and putting up prospects that Major League Baseball seem to really, really like.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right.
And they're open to dealing them. I think that's also one of the other reasons why I'm not losing faith in this situation, because I've seen David Stearns know areas of weakness. Last year, the Brewers needed another bat. He went out and got the best bat on the market, really, in Mike Moustakas. And didn't care that he let two guys that helped them at the major league level last year go in Brett Phillips and Jorge Lopez, but also knew that they needed a bullpen arm, went and got Joaquin Soria. It wasn't the greatest deal, so I'm not going to give him that $8 million that he's going to command right now for this free agency.
Yep. Hey, I got a tweet coming in here from Rami Makhlouf, former host of The Big Show.
What does Rami want?
Well, because he saw the tweet that came in suggesting that we should help you lose weight. Like we helped Rami lose weight because of your sweating issues and so forth. He tweets in and says, if Gary and Sparky put $500 on the line, I'll help Billy out for a cut. 10%. .. Check that. Okay. 20%. Check. .. Oh, okay. 50% is all it will take, and I'll help him out. So Rami willing to be a team player and help you out for $250 if that were to happen.
But now here's the deal. He's going $250 a piece.
250 piece from me and Gary, what it take to put on the line. You would get $500, and he is now saying he'll take 50% of that to help you.
Yeah, no, Rob,
to help you lose the weight.
I could do 15.
What everybody forgets is we had Josh Vernier that was chipping
so
in.
So there was more money.
No, it was $500 total.
It was five total.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was $500 ahead.
Like, no.
That point, I might drop a couple of pounds.
No, and
if it's $500 ahead.
I don't remember what he bought. He wanted a gaming system, is what he was going to do with the $500. Jeez. That's what he wanted.
That's
I don't know.
What he was going to do.
I don't remember if he ended up buying it or not after he got it.
Instead of like going to Vegas and enjoying himself.
No, this was Fat Rami. No.
Oh, that's true. Rami's not a Vegas kind of dude.
Then he
really
lost all of that weight, and then he became the Rami that we know. No, which is a totally different Rami than Fat Rami.
Cooler Rami.
He's different. He's a different Rami. He's different.
He's cooler.
I like this Rami too. Yeah.
Did you like Fat Rami more than this Rami? You guys used to give that dude absolute hell.
Yeah, we did. Killed him.
That was brutal.
Yeah, put him through the ringer.
Tim's got a bunch of tape that he pulled out because, like, in radio, they always tell you, right, save your gold. So
I don't save anything.
Tim pulled out like four or five CDs the other day. And there, you guys are just frying this guy on there. I mean, just letting him have it. And he's bouncing right back, grabbing the microphone, trying to take a shot at you, and you're like, no, there's no chance.
It's not happening.
Kick him right back down.
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Because there was two of us. Curb stomps with that kid.
There was two of us. But that's what all producers had to deal with going through it. Matt Barlow had to go through that when he was on the station with us. When he went to spring training with us, we abused Barlow pretty bad.
Did you guys think you abused me?
No.
I felt like I got it really easy.
Yeah, no, not really. We were a lot older and softer by that point. Yeah.
I kind of wish I would have gotten in here
but
when you guys were mean.
We really got Robbie and Barlow pretty good.
I think we should start doing that to Anthony Mandel. Just fry him left and right.
No.
No.
No, he doesn't make mistakes.
I could figure out some stuff. I could push him into a locker or something.
He doesn't really make
mistakes.
We don't
even have lockers, you idiot.
I could find one. Yeah. I'll take you over to Whitnall High School, throw you back into 1730. Ooh. That was the one that we used to throw a lot of kids into.
1730.
So you were a bully.
Tim Allen's birth year.
So you were a bully. That's what I thought.
Well, only when they would.
That guy called in and said you were
something.
So nice in high school and everything else. I was like,
Christian's
really
a good dude. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got into a little bit of trouble, too. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can tweet us at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Got two pairs of Summerfest tickets to give away before we get out of here. Prize Fairy tells me that one pair is going to be given away before 5 o'clock. Don't go anywhere, right here at 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Sparky, Mark Stein saying, numerous teams and agents believing Al Horford has a 4-year offer awaiting him in free agency worth an estimated $112 million. That's a dude that walked away from 30.1 guaranteed on a player option with the Boston Celtics, who frankly, after last night, I think the Boston Celtics are one in a pretty much full rebuild. And also, I think they got a whole lot better last night with some of the acquisitions they made.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the Celtics and what they're doing. Losing Kyrie, losing Al Horford. And I'm going back to Boston, as you just heard, 4-112. I can't figure out where he's going, though.
The report here says Dallas, possibly, with Mark Stein.
Dallas is denying it.
I wouldn't imagine that they would have a whole... I mean, they're lower on the books, but still, I can't think that would fit in with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis all that well.
No. I mean, maybe. I mean, he's a four next to Porzingis, I guess. Possibility. I like what Boston did. I thought Boston did well.
They grabbed Grant Williams from Tennessee, who's a two-time All-American.
They got my guy from Purdue. In that trade, Carson Edwards, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they got him. I like him a lot. I think he'll be a nice player for them. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Terry Rozier and if Rozier leaves because he's in the same boat as Malcolm Brogdon, restricted free agent. So if Brogdon's going to get offered $20 million, I want to see what Rozier is going to get offered on the open market because that was coming out last night, too, that apparently the Bulls could be one of the teams willing to offer Malcolm Brogdon $20 million a year.
Which is crazy to me.
That's the Jabari Parker contract.
And primarily because now, and I don't know exactly if those reports will come out after this as well, because they go up and grab Coby White to the Chicago Bulls. I thought they got a whole lot better last night. Coby White's going to be a premier pro in this league.
Yep, I agree. I thought it was a great pick. I texted Rami that after it happened, our old co-host on the show, and I said, dude, that's a great pick. He said, yeah, well, I don't trust either one of those fools. Even if I do like the pick, then I think I'm wrong. So... he likes the pick, too. But
yeah, Gar Foreman and John Paxson do not have many lovers in Chicago.
No, they don't have many fans at all. But I think that was a solid pick. I thought they did the right thing. Now, again, that's another situation there in Chicago of how far away are they really to compete for a title? I mean, I think they're close to being in the playoffs next year. I think they're closer to being in the playoffs.
Closer.
Depending on where they spend their money in free agency, whether it's Brogdon or somebody else. I think they're getting there, but I still think they're a ways away from competing for the East.
They're also one of those teams that is in a situation where they just need to be able to grow into a system. And if they're going to have a young point guard be into that system, I thought you saw a lot of teams last night, especially like the Clippers. The Nets moved a little bit of money around, but not too much.
Nets are not trying to have any cap space or not trying to spend any cap space.
A lot of teams were prepping themselves for free agency, but also prepping themselves to lose in free agency with some of the moves that they made.
Yeah, to a degree, as far as, you know, cap space being taken up and where guys were deciding to spend their money. And like we talked about earlier, second round picks for like 2020 and 2021 were being shipped all over the place last night in different trades throughout the evening. And there were some good basketball players I thought that were still going at the end of round one, early round two. Pascal from Villanova, I thought he was a first round type pick. I thought right. He was a solid first round type player, and he went later than I thought he was going to go. Our 12-year-old, he was all about Bowl, wanted to see where he went. And we're looking first round there in 20s. I'm like, he's still on the board. And he didn't go to the second round.
They did
before
that.
He got off the board, and then he got traded right away.
They gave him the old Brady Quinn treatment in the green room, where they had him out there, and they were showing him so much.
In his villain outfit?
That they felt bad for him, yeah, in his Spider-Man outfit.
He had, like, webbing going down this black suit. He looked like he was a villain in a Marvel movie.
He turned full heel last night. He then also told everybody after Maria Taylor asks him, like, hey, so what do you think that you're going to bring to the NBA? How do you think your game translates? He's like, I think my game translates pretty well. I think you guys all saw it on YouTube. You know what I can do. Like, okay, dude. All right. He's flexing on everybody, telling you to go check out his YouTube channel.
And Denver is an interesting place because Denver took a guy last year that was out all year because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is going to be a stud. So they're going to get him back this year. He's not going to play in summer league, Porter. And now you're going to take Bol Bol, and I don't know how much he'll play this year, but they got to put weight on him because like his dad, who was rail thin, it's going to work against you in the NBA because you're going to get moved all around, ask Thon Maker, if you can't put weight on. I think that's going to be his biggest issue. Can he gain weight and keep weight on? Thon can't. Thon's been trying and trying and
for
trying.
Sure. Yep.
He can't get enough weight on him to make a difference. Bull's dad, Manute Bol, couldn't put enough weight on him to make a difference. That's just simple. What about Taco Fall? What happened to him?
He ended up going to the Boston Celtics today on an Exhibit 10 contract. So he'll play in their summer league, but then is also, you can bring him up, I believe, after a certain qualifying date to the NBA that he could make a move up to your, it's not like a full two-way, but it's a move where he could be brought up for like a less than charge.
Be interesting to see how he does in the NBA, because there's a lot of people.
Now, he's got a little bit more weight to him, even though he's 7'7".
Oh, he is solid.
Mm-hmm. He's a thick boy.
He doesn't need more muscle.
Thick boy.
That's not the issue with him. I think the issue with him is just endurance. Can he play in the NBA and handle the endurance part of playing that many games out of the course of a year and still being able to run back up and down the floor time after time after time? That's all it is. I mean, if this was the 90s, I wouldn't worry about it as much. There wasn't as much running back and forth. There's a lot more half-court sets, drop the ball in, let them bang on some people and throw the ball down, the Yao Ming style, right? So that I could see. In today's NBA, I just don't know how he translates in today's NBA.
Because, like, he almost beat Duke by, like, he was the cornerstone of that UCF team. But you're right, you were able to slow it down and have 30 seconds inside of a half-court set to be able to slow it down. I really liked what New Orleans did last night. They ended up not shipping away anybody that they grabbed in the Anthony Davis trade. But that fourth overall pick that David Griffin was sitting on and taking offers on all day, he ended up getting a solid package for that, 8-17, and got rid of the Solomon Hill contract as well. Gets another top 35 player because they got the 35th pick from Atlanta in the deal too. And they're in a position where, yes, they're not going to be legitimately a playoff team this year, I wouldn't imagine, without Anthony Davis. But they're closer to an 8 seed than they are being the number one odds in the lottery with the team that they have now here.
I'm interested to see how long Elvin Gentry has a job. He's going to be able to coach him this year, and then we're going to see how much longer he gets after this year because it's a full rebuild. So now David Griffin, the general manager, the president of basketball operations has to determine how much money does he really want to spend on a head coach when you're in a complete rebuild, and that's what it is. And then I saw David Griffin came out and said, this is Drew Holiday's team, not Zion Williamson's team. He is not going to be the savior of this franchise. He should not be labeled as a savior of this franchise.
That.
Drew Holiday, this is his team. He's going to be another piece to this team kind of going forward. And they've got a ton of money under the cap.
Dude, still. They're going to be fun.
They got a ton of money. Now, again, we talked about it yesterday a little bit. If I'm them, I'm not spending it. Oh, I'll hold on to it. I'll wait. I'll wait to play another year when I'm a little bit closer to where I might be a little bit more attractive for a free agent to come here. Because I'm not going to spend all my money on some second-tier guy that I got to overpay a ton of money to.
You're not giving a $13 million to a J.J. Redick to get you a little bit more qualified into a playoff run?
Just say Al Horford. Say Al Horford's going to be my center with Zion Williamson sitting next to him. I'm not giving Al Horford 4 years at $100 and whatever million dollars it is. There's no chance I'm doing that.
Dude, they're going to run up and down, too. Jackson Hayes.
They have to.
Jackson Hayes, who they took at 8.
Texas.
From Texas. He's a lobber. Yep. They got Lonzo and Drew Holiday, probably two of the top lob specialists in the NBA. They're going to throw down alley-oops all night.
I heard Horvat last night, Ryan Horvat, who did a great job with you last night on the Pro Hoops draft show last night. And he really likes those two guys playing together. If it's me, Lonzo Ball, peace. And I'm going to try and find me a real shooting guard at some point here with whatever money I
can. See, I would have moved Lonzo before. I would have moved Lonzo last night to try to get another pick within that top six, top seven.
He's not worth it. He's not worth that much.
But I thought they would also have packaged him with that fourth pick to try to get multiple picks in that first round or pick in that first round and a legitimate player on a decent contract they could have gotten. There are a lot of rebuilding teams that are down with Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, I don't know. You get LeVar with him. I don't know, man.
He got that tattoo covered up. He's done with his dad.
Well, his dad's not done with Big Baller Brand. His dad's done with ESPN because ESPN's done with him.
Thank goodness. Finally.
But you still have to deal with him in the arena. You still have to deal with him going on talk shows in your town and doing all this other crap.
Sure.
I'm sorry. To me, he decreases his kid. Him being there decreases his kid's value immediately. I think Lonzo Ball is a good defender. I think he's a good passer. I think he can get to the rim fairly decent. He's not nearly as good of a shooter as he needs to be to play at a high level in this league. But there are things that he brings, because then what you're talking about is Drew Holiday playing off the ball and whether or not he's good enough to play off the ball.
Drew Holiday's going to need to shoot it a little bit better than he does if he's going to play more off the ball.
Just not sold on that whole backcourt. But we'll see. But they're both good defenders. So we'll see how that thing plays out.
They're going to have rim protection.
Today marks the official day of summer solstice. And while it may not feel like summer weather outside, there's nothing better in Milwaukee than firing up only the best and delicious meat on the grill from Robert Specialty Meats. If you're tailgating at the park or firing up the patio grill at home, a guaranteed winner is Robert's Ribs on a Stick. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce and ready in just minutes. Or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry flavors. You'll also find several types of Robert's original burgers like the cheddar and bacon or mushroom and Swiss. Plus over 30 varieties of sausage and brats to choose from. Call Robert's today at 262-549-MEAT. 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and to reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their cherry wood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, shop Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
414-799-1250. The Milwaukee Bucks had the 30th selection in last night's draft. Not going to do that. Fletcher McGee, though, is on the Milwaukee Bucks. He wore number 17 in college at Wofford. Fletcher McGee's number 17. Caller 17 to 414-799-1250 is going to get our first pair of Summerfest tickets right now. 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show back after this on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app, where you can listen to us. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, alongside Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane coming up here in mere moments. Sparky, I still can't get over. I'm looking at my sheet here, and I have everything lined up. Also, by the way, tonight on The Fan, you're not going to want to miss Corbin Burns sit down with Bart Winkler coming up on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. That's going to be right around 6:40 tonight. Tim Allen and Bart Winkler will join me, Bart Winkler, down at Miller Park during the On Deck show right around 6:15. And then the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show follows with Tim Allen right here on The Fan. Still can't get over. I'm looking here at everything on the rundown for all week, all our shows, and all the good stuff that we got for the big show. And our Throwback Thursday winner from yesterday. I still am puzzled with your mega death.
Did it win?
It did win. So Megadeth will be
rightfully so
the artist on Throwback Thursday next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.